the Welcome to Fatherhood podcast. I'm your host. My name is Kelly, and I'm here to remind you, however you're listening and wherever you're listening, that as dads, we're just like moms. Except we're dads. Ha ha! Go ahead and start by introducing yourself.
Wow, that's nice. So my name's Matt. I'm part of MFF, Music Football Fatherhood. I do their social media. So I look after their Instagram, their Twitter, a little bit of Facebook. And you'll see me on there doing Instagram lives every Monday here in the UK at 10:15, converted to your time zone wherever you're at. And I do a whole bunch of other stuff. I do video editing and got content creation. I'm actually just launching a podcast of my own.
Yes.
And it's called Every L Is Not a Lost Podcast. And it's just where there's certain things in your life where you feel like it's an L, but it's really not. And it's sort of like just talking it out a little bit. And I've had a lot of those experiences in my life. And also I want to get people on board to sort of share their versions, their stories of where they thought initially, huge L. But after exploring it, going through it, I've now learned it's a, and then we just talk about it. So yeah, that's me really in a nutshell.
So one of several podcasts, that's the one that you focused on. You have several others bouncing around in your head. What are those about?
So I have another one that's, it's about finance and mental health and how they both intertwine with one another, because a lot of people talk about finances because you want to get that money.
Yeah.
Some people talk about mental health because they're all about that stability.
Yeah.
But no one sort of links the two together, how sometimes people's mental health deteriorates through the lack of funds or lack of knowledge of how to utilize the funds that's available to them. So it's just talking about, you know, health is wealth and stuff like that. But that's not with just myself. I co-founded it with someone else, but they've got other projects they're doing as well. And they've got a massive, massive project at the moment that is taking most of their attention, which I fully appreciate. So when they've done what they've got to do, we'll link up and go ahead. But yeah, I'm a very creative person, so I've got lots of thoughts in my head that bounce around all the time. And even in my day job requires me to do, like, let's say, a customer service role.
Yeah.
But I'm doing their graphics, I'm doing their newsletters, I'm doing all this stuff. At the moment, I'm building something that's a tool that will actually help not just my particular station, but potentially the whole country, in terms of a training exercise. And I've only been there since March.
Oh, and wow.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where I don't like to criticize people for things. I like to try and improve it. So there's no point in me just coming up there and just throwing shade in it and saying, whatever, move on. Let me help you. Let me understand what the problem is and let's improve it together. Because as a manager, I hated when staff come to me and say to me, oh, I see this problem. Oh, I see that problem. Cool. I see problems every day.
Yeah.
Come with me to a solution. I may not use it, but I'd rather you come with me, show me the problem, provide me a solution. If I'm really short on time, I might just go with what you tell me. But if you're just going to come in and say, oh, here's a problem, turn around, go away, come back to me when you've got a solution to a company that I haven't got time for. And that's how I treat with other people. I don't want to just sort of say, that's trash, that's this, that's whatever. Let's talk about what we can do to improve that situation, because not all of us know the answers. And there's more than one way to get to the answer of anything in real life. So, yeah.
How long you've been a dad for?
I have had the wonderful privilege of being a dad for 2.5 years, give or take.
And recently you shared something with a group of us who met on IG. Yeah. And, you know, I'm not asking you to share now, but do you want to share now?
I'm not going to ask, but I'll get it up. You don't ask, you don't care. So for those of you that don't know, obviously this pod will be released much later, I'm sure.
Much later, yeah. But wait, hold on. Before I put you on the spot, which I already did, so you're just going to have to go through it anyway. Has this become public knowledge?
By the time this is out, yeah, it will be.
By the time, okay, so you're comfortable sharing it now?
Yeah, because if you're not got, trust me, I've only got like, I've only got a couple of people that need to know. And then other than that, it's going to go on social anyway.
Okay, great. So please do share. I mean, not that I want you to share, but definitely share.
Uh-huh. So for those of you that don't know, I just eye rolled. So let's put in context. So
yes.
A few weeks back, Kelly and I and a few other wonderful dads jumped to the podcast. And yeah, we just recorded an episode.
Yeah.
And at the beginning of it, they're all talking about having vasectomies. Kelly and I were like, because at the time, we only had the one child. And we kind of would like to contribute towards society a little bit more.
Mm.
I thought that was quite eloquently said there.
I like that, actually.
so it was like, no. But I knew in the back of my head, for those of you that don't know, my wife and I were pregnant. But because it was before the 12 weeks, I don't agree with that, but I just didn't want to get into it. So I didn't say no.
Yes.
And then talking about having a vasectomy, oh, we should have an episode with vasectomy. I'm like, I'm good, thanks. Fast forward to the episode being released, fine, dandy. Now, going back to the Monday of this week, so we're recording this on a Friday.
Yes.
On the Monday at 8:30 a.m. UK time, I've now blocked out time in my diary. Boss, I'll see you at 10 o'clock. Got a medical appointment. She don't know nothing. So I've gone there, right, sitting there in the waiting room because obviously COVID restriction and whatnot.
Yeah.
So a woman's come out to go get her dad, get the dad of the daughter that was getting a scan, saying, oh my gosh, she's only having 3 boys. All right, cool, whatever, just that's your business. Wife and I didn't think nothing of it. Then we get called in and I sat down, my wife's laying down, I can see the screen, the sonographer's there and so forth. I'm sat down in the chair directly opposite the screen, leaning against the wall. And the woman says, oh, so is this your first night? It's like, second. Okay, great. So let's have a look at babies or baby. Oh, I shouldn't say that because last time I said babies, it was twins. So I was like, all right, cool. And then she moved the gel over my wife's belly. And instead of seeing that one little void that you normally see before you see the ultrasound of the baby, there's two little packets. And because my wife had said previously that she thought it could be twins because she was very nauseous and very drained throughout the days. It was like, okay, let me look on YouTube and just have a look at something because no point being ignorant to it.
Sure.
So I saw it then. And it wasn't a matter of I was vexed. It was just that I couldn't deny what I could see because I could try and play it off as a joke if I just heard what the woman said. But I could see with my own eyes. But I wasn't willing to go down without a fight. She's like, oh, it is two. And I said, nah, that's just one flickering from one side of the screen to the other. I was going down swinging, but I couldn't even say that with conviction because I could see. And at that point, like they say that if you want time to slow down, do plank. Like do the plank. Like that will slow time down.
Yes, it does.
Finding out you're having twins when you anticipated just having the one, that will slow down time because you have to understand that I was ready to say, right, cool, we got the one. We did plan this. This was no surprise. But you go there and there's a second child and you're thinking, I can't do Alt and Z. It's not going to undo. This is it. This is, for your Windows people, that is, you know, Control Z, whatever, or Z in America, sorry. You just have to sit there and you're thinking, trying to make jokes in your head to deal with the situation, letting them thinking, crumb, I need to get a new car. Crumb, can I keep both my cars? Crumb, I need to buy a new house. Oh gosh. And then it literally took me, I don't even know how many minutes because I probably blacked out at some point. It felt like I'd completely forgot because obviously you want to name your child. You're kind of thinking, cool, if you know the baby's healthy, it's all good.
Yes.
You can pick like a boy's name and a girl's name. Yeah. You know, you're done. Bro, because this is a fraternal, they're fraternal twins, which means that they're not potentially going to be identical. It is the safest version of the twins that are available. However, it means it could be boy, boy, girl, girl, or boy, girl.
Yeah.
I ain't coming up with 6 names or whatever names I've got to come up with and then whittle it down. Oh, my gosh.
Come up with, like, unisex names. For instance, Kelly can go for both male and female. So come up with names like that. Kelly, Ashley. You guys have Ashley Cole.
Yeah, but I'm not going. No.
Valerie.
No. My son's called Avery. That's a unisex name.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Stacy.
No. It's no.
No.
No, because unfortunately, Stacey, I do know, wasn't a nice person. So, you know, those people you went to school with and they just, they ruined any name, any chance of you naming your child a name because they're just complete. I'm not going to say.
And there's also the song Stacey's Mom Got It Going On, which.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely not having that. Can you imagine? They're just like, what you said about your mom? No. But yeah, it was, so, there's so many things that are going through my mind because it cost us like 600 and something pounds a month. For my son to go to nursery 3 days a week. My mum looks after him 2 days a week.
Mm.
So then if you times up by two, because I was gassed. I'm like, the finance on my car is done now. Like, you know, when he got, like, by the time I finish my shared parental leave, then he'll be going to school. So there's no nursery fees there. And then the other one can tag in. And we're blessed. We've got this worked out. Sorry, two? Sorry, what?
Two.
Two. Okay.
For the price of one.
Oh gosh, wow. So all those stuff I've been, like, Christmas decorations up in the loft. So when I was getting those down, I'm seeing the pram that I spent big money on. I'm like, I can reuse that. Did I see the cut off of it? I can reuse that. I can see that little high chair. I can use that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh my
gosh.
Now it's like, I've got to sell all that gear. because what people probably don't understand, I'm sorry for labouring the point, but this is a very, I've been thinking a lot about this.
No, please, go ahead.
No, when you have your first child, you kind of, it's a bit like buying your first property.
Mm-hmm.
You've got all the outlay of buying all the white goods for your house and all the bits and pieces. But once you move from that one property to the next property, you bring it along with you, unless you want to top it up yourself, right? Like change the decor, the decor up or whatever the case is. But more time than not, you can take the white goods with you. The money I'd spent in the first instance, I can't necessarily carry over because now, I don't want to do this to my son, but he's got to learn potty train. I'm not paying for three lots of their nappies. It's just, or diapers. It's not a thing. Son, potty train. But I don't potty train. I cannot afford it. If we want to go out, bro, I can't go in with them. It's going to be mum and three boys or whatever the situation. One boy, two girls. I took the masses doing my nothing.
Now, let me ask you this. Have you considered the possibility of the scenario where you see yourself having to go out with all three of your children by yourself?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've done that. That's,
You've done that with one child.
Yeah, about four bags.
I'm talking about, like, how many bags are you going to have? What about the car seats? What about the kind of stroller you're going to need to get? Are you in that phase, Matt, where you are contemplating a minivan?
Oh, gosh.
Are you a minivan dad now, Matt?
Do you know what? Some of them are quite nice, to be fair. I'm not going to front. But I will tell you something that's really, really funny. There is one guy who I met through MFF, and I interviewed him on Dad to Dad. I've been wanting to speak to him for the longest time because he had a child, tried for a second, got twins. I've watched the interview back and I'm so vexed with myself because little did I know that was going to be my life, where even the intro said, I don't get it. So you have one child, you think, oh, let's have another one. You go for a second, you get two instead. So you're down, up, gone from a family of three to a family of five. Mm-hmm. And his new car, new house, And he's talking to me, he's telling me all the journey. So I have a pretty good understanding. And that we follow each other on Instagram. So I've seen his story and I love his family.
Sure.
So I'm kind of already there, but it was just so mad that when that happened, it was like, sorry, what? So when everything was said and done, and I've gone back to work and I still can't get my head around it, he was one of the first people I reached out to. I can't remember if I even had his number. I just reached out to him on Instagram and said, yo, you got a few minutes.
I need to vent.
I was talking to him. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah. Remember you told me what you said? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's my life.
Wait, like, what?
Literally, he thought I was joking because it was mad.
Yeah.
But yes, it's a blessing because not everyone can be in this situation. Not everyone can have a child in the first instance.
Yes.
So to then be blessed with the opportunity to be a parent of twins, it just meant that someone wanted me to be a parent of three, even though that wasn't on my card. So Because to be fair, if I had the second child, would I pursue a third? Probably not. So the fact that the third's kind of come in, like I didn't close the door quick enough, let's call it that, shall we? let me clear the record. Right? My wife tricked me because technically I do have twins in my family.
Time out, time out. You're blaming the wife. I just want to make that abundantly clear.
100%.
That what's about to come out of your mouth is going to be aimed at your wife and blame.
Yeah.
And you're aware of that.
Yeah.
And she might hear this.
I don't care.
Okay, so let me just say that I am completely removing myself from this scenario.
This is
entirely your responsibility because I don't even know your wife, and I want to be in good standing with the missus should we ever meet face to face.
That's fine. That's fine. Bro, I ain't traveling. I can't afford to ticket.
No, but I might be able to travel to the UK and be like...
Just rub it in.
Let's link up. Because I only have to worry about one car seat.
This guy. Wow, the knife is stuffing me now. It's fine. So the reason why, just to clarify, and I have said this to her already, she knows how it is, because of how the babies came about as being twins, isn't through one egg splitting into two.
Right, is one sperm fertilizing two eggs?
Well, this is two eggs being fertilized by two sperms.
No way.
Yeah. So they asked us if it was done naturally or if we went through IVF, because I assume through IVF, to increase the chances of you actually conceiving a child, they release as many eggs as possible. So at least one will obviously go ahead. But my wife was, hyper-ovulating?
Okay.
I can't remember. So, you know, that was it. So she offered up one egg. Because he's like, let's try.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it's quick. You just go, here's another one.
She did that on purpose. That's what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. So you can see how I didn't split nine. My girl just offered the next one. And obviously, when you fire your shot within your semen, there's a whole bunch of sperm in there.
Yeah, a crazy amount of millions.
Yeah. So if their sole task in life is just to seek out egg and two are on offer, I don't remember that conversation. We had said about having one.
Mm-hmm.
One is not two. I know, West Indian, but come on now. Let's not mess up the maths.
Yeah, but you see, I can definitely see a scenario where you had a conversation with your soldiers as the general. You said, listen, guys, I'm going to send you out.
Yeah.
And I need two of you to conquer.
Nope, one.
Nope. You had a secret meeting that you're not willing to share on the podcast right now, which is totally okay. Because I can see it in your face. You were like, listen, I'm going to send you as the primary target. And then you went to the other one and you were like, actually, he's the decoy. You're the primary target.
To be fair, if they're anything like me, they don't play for fun. They play to win. So they'll just gun in for anything. That was all it is.
So you're taking ownership of...
No, man. I'm just saying, I don't play for fun. I play to win. So if there's an egg up an offer... And all of a sudden, the next one, if I miss the first one, I'm running for the second one. And that's their mentality. I can't fault them for it. But my wife just quickly just bang out a quick little sidecar and go, oh, do you like this one? Here's the next one. Mm-hmm. You want now?
Mm-hmm.
So not buy one, get one free offer. What's this all about?
This is Amazon Prime Day. That's what it is.
Oh, don't even.
That's what it is. You know, I mean, this conversation is not weird at all.
Oh, no. Not if you're a dad and you
really care about this. Yeah, not at all. Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's just definitely weird. Although the girls at the work are like, oh my gosh, that's so wonderful. Can you tell me how she done it? And stuff like that. So she hyper-ovulated. Like, but how? And I just point at myself, like, come on. Of course.
Look at this.
You know what I mean? And then she laughed. And I was like, oh, cheers. But proof is in the pudding though, right? Because I've got two in the oven at once. So,
yeah, you do. You know?
But yeah, that's my life. So I don't know what life's going to look like going forward with me in terms of my content creation. That is definitely going to be more of a challenge. However, I am fully here for it. And I'm just so humbled and so blessed to be able to be in a situation. It's great that my wife is, she's shocked as well, but we're both happy. And it's a challenge that we're willing to go through together because we've been together for 20 and a half years now. and married for 10 and a bit years.
Okay.
So we've been through so much together. We're just best friends, as much as we can annoy each other, but we are just best friends. It's just nice to say, yo, you know what? We have no intention of leaving each other. We're, you know, we was going to go try for a second and, you know, intentionally.
Yeah.
Things turn out to be the way they are. Happy days. Let's make this happen. Let's make it work. We don't have the, we do not know how this is going to work, but we have faith it is going to work.
The two of you just have to keep putting your heads together and figuring it out, right? Which is what you've been doing with your first child this whole time.
Oh yeah, definitely. But obviously with the first child, things kind of got easier and manageable and whatever else. It's just now when you got three to contend with simultaneously, that is where it's a bit of a challenge. However, I'm happy that the age gap isn't as big as it could be, just because I don't think I would have been happy him going to proper school or secondary school and then having babies, because I would have been so far removed from that routine,
yeah.
If you know what I mean,
yeah.
That I might begrudge it. But yeah, I'm here for it. I'm super excited. My anxiety is through the roof, but in all the right ways, because I think nothing can prepare for parenthood initially.
Yeah.
But in this situation, it's very much if you don't have faith, well, you find it.
Several topics that I want to discuss, but I'm going to start with this one because I'm going to seize the opportunity of who you are, your setting, and I think you might appreciate having this conversation with me because we have a lot in common. We both come from West Indian backgrounds. You're in the UK, I'm in the States. I speak English properly. You speak English weird. You know, that kind of stuff. But last year, you're a big football fan, soccer fan for those here in America.
Yeah.
Okay. So last year, there was something that happened last year where the English national team was facing off against Italy.
Yeah.
In a pretty important competition.
Yeah.
And the game went down to the wire. It went to penalty kicks.
Yeah.
And the English squad put out what some might call inexperienced players to take the penalty kicks.
Yeah.
And I believe, if my memory serves me correctly, the last four were of dark skin.
I'm not sure about the four, but I know the three definitely were.
Okay. So at least three
were
of dark skin. Cool. And they all missed.
Yep.
And Italy ended up winning.
Yep.
Knocking off the English team. From the little bit that I got from the States, there was such an outpouring of rage and racism toward these players.
Yeah.
You, my friend, are a black father with a son.
Yeah.
Who I don't know if at that time he was aware of what was going on.
Not at all.
But you certainly were. So can you talk to me about some of the thoughts, feelings that might have been aroused in you at that time? Because I certainly felt some things over here on my end.
Well, It's a bit bitter for me because I'm a Manchester United fan, and I know we've had a rough patch for the last going on a decade. And Marcus Rashford plays for Manchester United.
He does.
He got subbed on quite late in the game. And you're kind of feeling like, boy, you kind of need to do something. Because if you don't do something, people are gunning for you. Jadon Sancho went on as well. And Saka was already on there anyway. And he plays for Arsenal. And then when it got to shootout, and I think Harry Maguire and Harry Kane, I think, as the two people that scored prior to those three taking their penalty kicks. And I know I shouldn't have already thought this, but it just couldn't be removed from my head. And it was like, don't you dare miss.
Yeah. Oh, bro. Yes.
They're coming for you.
Yeah. So you're talking about just like before it even happened, before the final result. Yeah. And you seen the first one walking. Who was the first one that went up?
I think it was Marcus Rashford.
I think it was Rashford, the first one that went up, right?
It was Marcus Rashford, yeah.
Because the third one was the youngest of the trio.
No. The youngest one was the last one. Saka. He was the youngest one. So it was Rashford, Sancho, and Saka.
Okay. So Rashford is going up there.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is that you and I were having the same thought process as we're watching this. Homie, don't miss.
Because if you do, all that stuff. Bear in mind, for those that don't know, Marcus Rashford, in the UK, during a global pandemic, at the peak of the pandemic, the government where it normally feeds kids were saying, boy, we're not feeding you over the school holidays because you ain't in school. And Marcus Rashford campaigned against it.
He did.
The government do a U-turn on that and feed the kids. He also raised money. He's created a charity called Fair Share, I think it's called, that he does with his mum. He's done an amazing thing. He's got a diploma, I think, now. He's the youngest recipient, I believe, of it. Something along those lines. But he's done incredible things. But in that moment, where he didn't manage to put an inflated ball in the back of a net, he was vilified. And the people that were screaming and saying wow and disgusting thing to him or directed at him for the color of his skin were probably had their kids fed by his action.
Yeah. Oh, you. So you went there.
Mate, that. Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yep. Some of those kids who got fed by his actions were most likely at the match.
Yep.
Isn't that interesting?
So he, in theory, has done more for his kids in that instance than his parents could have done. Because if his let's be honest, right? If the parents can't provide food and they're relying on the government, yet he's intervened and has fed their kids. He has done something you yourself cannot do, yet you're willing to cuss him out, call him every name under the sun, name him after anything you stepped on that you try scraping off. Because he could not kick an inflated ball of air in the back of a net. Raising all his hard work.
What were some of the... Talk to me about the pulse in the UK after that and in the days to follow. What was it like? What was it like for you just being in that time, you know, post that soccer match or that football match?
So it was weird because all I remember, I had anxiety for it. I was looking for it. I was on Twitter. I was on Instagram looking for it. Because I if you know trouble's coming your way, not saying that I don't want to get in trouble because I don't, but I just want to know what they're saying because I know it's being said. And the newspaper just, you know, kind of, they didn't address the real issue. No one really addressed it. People would say, oh, racist things are disgusting, da, da, da. But it took them so long to get to that point that you feel like you're not serious, because trust me, if you love these people, you would not tolerate it at all. But for me, the anxiety was just, this is the world my son's going to grow up in. They're going to look at the complexion of his skin and we'll see that right now he's cute. Eventually, he's a thug. He can't wear his trousers too low. He can't have his hair a certain way. He can't have a hood on because if he has a hood, he'd be categorized as something else, threat, whatever. And it's just, it's a sad reality that I'm going to be living in. I work for the government, ironically. So I think the World Cup took place on the Saturday or the Sunday. So on the Friday before the end of work, they were saying, oh yeah, we're all looking forward to the final, rare. Come the Monday, there was a bit of issue at the office, so we couldn't all go in. So it's like, it's fine. But no one said anything at all. Go into the office on the Tuesday, no one says anything. And the silence is deafening. And I just wanted to talk to people. And I was like, right, I want to say something, but I'm kind of new to this organization. I don't want to sort of put myself in the crosshairs.
Yeah.
I need to say something. And I wrote an email to a couple of the managers on my team saying to them, but, you know, I feel some sort of way because things were said on Friday talking about the football match. What happened, happened. You know, we weren't allowed in the office on a Monday. That's fine. I get that. You know, engagement. But on the Tuesday, I would like to have heard something because those of us that are, that witnessed that, noticed that the wonderful and amazing things that one individual like Marcus Rashford has done was completely erased for something so insignificant. Yes, it would have been nice if he could finish the job, but why is it that even though he did all that hard work, he could be brought down to a single slur echoed throughout the whole country and maybe even the world, and no one saying anything? The silence is deafening. And it was just so painful. And I just tried to explain, saying, right, racism is a hard topic to tackle. However, you've got a process in place for domestic violence. And domestic violence is very hard to pin down in terms of saying what actions or what phrases are what actually qualifies as domestic violence. But you've got certain protocols in place to identify the patterns that could lead up to it. And you know that if someone is a victim of that, you've got protocols to put them in an office, to do this, to do that, fine. You do such a fantastic job doing that. All I'm asking is that you try and replicate that with racism. Because all it is that you can't pin it down to say it's this phrase, it's that action, it's whatever. It's going to be, again, a series of patterns that may identify racism or unconscious bias. But the fact that you're not willing to address it is becoming a problem because the people that I've been saying racist things to, Rashford, Sancho and Saka, these are people that are employers. They're the bus drivers or public transport drivers. They are people that are teaching our children, and they were spewing out things saying, oh, but they're football fans. At that time, they were a football fan, but they're probably still young/old professionals who are going to now treat people that look those ways differently because of an inflated ball of air did not go into the back of a net.
Once the guy with a particular color of skin kicked it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yo, that is well said. That is well said. I was not surprised. I was about to say that I was surprised, but I was not surprised because, like we just said a little while ago, we were both anticipating the result. We were hoping that it didn't come to fruition, but he missed. And then the next one missed. And then the next one missed. So it was like, had Rashford been the only one to miss and then the other two scored, I wonder what the intensity would have been like. There would have still been some to criticize them, but for sure, nothing like, you know, having a 3-package deal of, oh, y'all all missed. And guess what? Y'all all have the same thing in common. All the other ones who made it have something in common. I mean, it's almost as if it was intentionally done that way to really drive home a point. And I don't think it was. I'm not in the mind of the manager or, you know, the powers that be, whatever. In my humble opinion, for a match of such high importance, I would have placed players with more experience to go and take these first 5 penalty kicks. Not that Rashford is not experienced, because he is a very experienced and accomplished player. But like Saka and stuff, like I would have, you know, defer and probably put him, if we're going into sudden death as like put him in between two experienced players in the event that we even get there, that would be my rationale, right? I'm not putting him in the forefront if we're trying to get a lead because he doesn't have much experience, but that's the little bit that I know. That's how I would have managed things. Nonetheless, I'm sitting here as a podcaster. I'm not making the millions of pounds that whatever his name is making, whatever the case is. Fine.
Okay. Yeah.
Nevertheless, it just seemed like, man, this is so unfortunate for these young men. And to be fair, there was also a lot of outpouring of support that came towards them globally. People speaking up and speaking out against the hate speech and the slurs and all of that stuff that was directed at them. But I found it interesting that it was not until a couple of days later that some of the clubs that these players were associated with didn't immediately release a statement. They waited until things got to a boiling point, and then they were like, we just want to send out generic, signed Manchester United or signed, you know, Chelsea or whatever the case is. And it's like, so these guys don't even have the support of their local clubs to be able to be like, you know, we're going to take off the national jersey. We're going to put on our club jersey. And the same people who were witnessing this match while we were wearing our national jersey are going to be the same people in the stadium when we're wearing our club jerseys. So the feeling is not going to change because they're still going to remember that I was the guy who missed this crucial penalty. So, you know, what are we going to do about this? And it saddened me then to realize just the depth of how little support there was to help these young men navigate through this. And I'm sure that's not the first time in their career or in their life that they have to experience that, but still.
Yeah, it's difficult. You can look into it and you hear things like, oh, just stick to football. And I think that's such a disrespectful thing to say, because if we all just stuck to what we had, what we did as a day job, how many podcasts would there really be out in the world? How many creative content would be out in the world? It wouldn't be, because wait, when you look back at several years, content like this didn't pay. So why are you going to pack up your day job, fending for that, providing for your family, whether you're a breadwinner or not? Why would you pack that in to do a hobby that ain't generating that? So when you say to Rashford, let's use Rashford as an example.
Yeah.
Just stick to your day job, which is kicking a ball. Your child wouldn't have been fed, or someone you care about wouldn't have been fed.
Facts.
So that's disrespectful. And the fact that you're saying that football is a role model, yet this role model is going as far as he can at his young age. I think he was 22 at the time when he was doing this work. Like, I weren't doing anything remotely like what he was doing at 22.
I'm not doing that now. Me neither, yeah.
So, you know, me being the big age that I am, I ain't doing what he's doing. Yet this young man, this young, incredible man, is doing what he's doing. Raised by his mom as a single parent, mom, doing incredible things, and you have the audacity, anyone has the audacity, to stick to your day job.
Yeah, it's the same thing that happens here in the state with professional athletes, particularly basketball players, who are such huge icons locally, globally. Whoever, whichever one of them speaks out against anything remotely political, hey, you know, the shut up and dribble, you know, you're just a basketball player, you know, be a basketball player, you're not a... And so there's all of these things that are packed with so much condescending meaning, so much derogatory inferences and what have you when it's said. And it's like, well, so you cheer me on when I'm making your life better, when I'm fattening your pockets. But when things are not going well for you, then suddenly I'm the one to blame. Then I'm the one who needs to shut up. Then I'm the one who needs to, when I'm speaking out for, you know, in the context of these basketball players, when I'm speaking out for people who look like me, and when I'm trying to do things for my community and communities around the world that are populated with people like me, then that's a problem. You know, so it's, yeah.
It's a common problem around the world. And unfortunately, I think until there's an unwritten rule in terms of how celebrities are depicted, and the media controls the narrative or tries to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the facts of life. If you want to be in the spotlight, I think there's a UK content creator called Sideman All Day, real name David Whiteley. And he did a video with she's now a celebrity, but she's off a TV show called Love Island. And it was talking about being an influencer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was talking about how she had so many millions of followers and so forth. It was amazing and so forth. It was like, yeah, great. But then her actions were then being influenced by the many people that were commenting on her post.
Mm-hmm.
So the posts around who's really the influencer.
Yes.
So yes, people say, oh, I've got all these numbers, that person's the influencer.
No, yeah. But
yes, you might see a whole outpour of love, but like most of us have experienced, when you put out that one post and you get even one comment, you might have 100 likes, but you get that one comment that just says something nasty. That doesn't
mean,
that's not even personal attacking you, but it feels like it.
Yep.
How do you think they feel when they get maybe 100,000 of those? They might have daily plus of likes,
yeah.
But they have those people, and I've had to learn a long time ago that sometimes people will love you, and some people will not love you.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why some people won't love you isn't because they don't like you, but because they don't like how other people love you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's hard to sometimes deal with, and until you can get your head around it, it's going to be a bitter pill to swallow. But it's life. Everyone's got their own story, and someone's got to play the villain, and you just got to accept it.
Talk about that, because we're both raising children, and you have, like you just said a little while ago, two on the way.
Yeah.
We're raising a generation that the very foundation of what their society is going to look like, or might look like, is going to be heavily influenced by social media, by technology, in all sorts of ways. Like right now we have Insta and Facebook and TikTok and Quibi and whatever else. By the time they become young men and young women, who knows what else is going to be there? I mean, we're talking about stuff right now, like the metaverse is a big topic of conversation. So, you know, that's the space that will be shaping the society that they will inherit once we're gone. And we can start seeing that from now, that these kids are really into not the things that we were into when we were growing up, right? But they're into how many likes can I get on social media? You know, how many followers do I have? Am I trending? Am I not trending? Am I trending for the right reasons? Are people paying attention to me? And comparing themselves to others their age, or people who project a certain lifestyle, a certain ideology, or whatever the case is. And we know this. This is no secret. Social media shows you the best of people's lives.
Yep.
In a 30-second video, in a 15-minute reel, in a 10-second TikTok, mm-hmm. whatever the case is. But there are 24 hours in a day that are not being accounted for.
Yep.
So talk to me about just sort of, how do we help our children remain balanced and grounded in such a way to help them not be crushed by the weight of what I think their society is going to look like?
That's a very hard question, because who has the right answer for that? You know, if success was a number and that number was 10, how many different ways can you get to it?
For sure. Yeah, no, but so talk to me about like how you think you might tackle that.
I'm an overthinker. It's well documented in that sense. So my answer to that would be, just to help him or help them when it becomes that they're here, just help them to be comfortable in their own skin. People love you, people hate you. That is just part of life. And I'd rather people, for instance, for myself, I'd rather people like those that like me for who I am, cool. Those that don't like me for who I am, cool. Because I could still be someone else and they still not like me.
Yeah.
So I'd rather be happy being myself adult than being genuine them people.
Yeah.
So I need my children and everyone in my life, because I'm one of those people that says, if you're someone I get on with and we vibe, you're my people. I don't care what color, what creed, what sex, don't bother me. You're my people.
Yeah.
And I kind of have that around me, and I want that around my family. So I want my children to know that if you find people that vibe with you, that build you up and help you, those are your people. But ultimately, understand what each platform, which each service, which each product is offering. Because let's use TikTok as a scenario, as an example. Sorry. So you've got TikTok, which is there trying to make short, sharp, quick content creation using, you know, memes, using various creators, using how-to videos, whatever. They just want to build their brand off of that.
Yeah.
All right. But you want to use it for something else. Right. If you're going against what they want it for, they're not going to promote you.
Mm.
Don't take it personal, because if you created something and someone else tried to pervert it in your eyes, you're not going to promote them either.
Yeah.
So understand they need you more than you need them.
Mm.
And understand that you as an individual are valid. You are worthy. You are amazing. You may not just tick their boxes that they're currently looking for or willing to tick their boxes. And until you are willing to tick the boxes, don't be upset that you don't get the results.
Mm-hmm.
But make sure that you in this world live honestly and have as little regrets as possible. And the only way you're going to do that is by being authentically yourself. And I will help you as much as I can by me being authentically myself to show you the way, to show you the repercussions that will come. And I'll be as honest as I can do. If I have to cry in front of you, I'll cry in front of you. If I have to say, I don't know the answer, I will tell you I don't know the answer.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to let you feel like what I expect from you is unrealistic.
Yeah.
I will show you that, yes, you can watch Instagram, you can watch TikTok and it looks amazing. It looks like it was done in, you know, no time flat. The reality is it took longer. It took this, it took that. I've got to teach my kids critical thinking. I've got to help educate them, because if you look back in the days where Black people were killed for reading books, we're now dying from not reading books.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want that for my children. My children are going to be mixed race. And even though they're going to have white in them, that's not what people are going to see.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dreading the day if they ever go to the States and it's still in the same way it is now, because they don't see the white in them. They will just see the Black in them, and they'll pull out a gun or pull out a weapon or treat them a certain way. And I just don't want that. So I need them to understand that even though they are going to be lovely, kind individuals, depending on how they dress, depending on the situation, things are going to be a certain way. And ultimately, you can't control everything. And I think it's very important to understand that some things are going to happen that you're not going to be happy about, you're not going to agree with, but you just got to make lemonade out of the lemons that are given to you. One of my favorite phrases is, if you can't stop a wave, learn to surf. And that's all I'm doing. Let's talk about the elephant in the room. I didn't expect twins.
Yeah.
But here we are. I'm rolling with it. I'm embracing it. I am going to have a family where I can probably play, I say probably because my wife cheats, but we can play Monopoly at some point in the future. You know, if there was two adults, would we play Monopoly? Probably not, because there's going to be five of us.
Yeah.
It kind of feels like,
you're a Monopoly family now.
Yeah. And then we've got switches. So when I say switch, we've got multiple.
Mm-hmm.
So we can get on the control pad and we can start playing when they get older, because PlayStation 5 feels a very long way for me now, right now. Because I'll get a PlayStation 5 when the PlayStation 6 comes out. That'll be the deal. But then it's, you know, I'm at peace with that, because I found my why. I found my resolve.
Yeah.
And that's them. And I want my children to seek out what makes them happy. I don't care if my children are gay. I don't care if my children are straight. I don't care if they're left-handed, right-handed. I want them to be happy. Mm-hmm. Because when I hear things about how, and I don't necessarily agree with this, when black children are told, you have to work twice as hard as someone else of a different complexion, that's traumatizing. That's saying that you're swimming against the tide, right? But then if you're raised in a religious household and told that being homosexual is wrong, but then you don't feel attracted to the opposite sex like that, then that's putting more pressure on them, because it's kind of making me feel like, well, I'm going to have to work twice as hard as anybody else to get anywhere in life. Then I can't tell them that I'm not feeling the opposite sex like that. So who are they living for right now? Because I don't want my child to not feel comfortable enough to not talk to me because they're fearful of what I'm going to say to them. I want my child to want to talk to me because they appreciate our conversation we have together. And the only way I'm going to do that is by showing them I don't know all the answers, but I'm willing to look for the answers as and when it needs to be, so that you are not just doing what I tell you to do, you're doing what I'm showing you to do. Because only through showing you things will you truly appreciate what needs to be done. And plus, I will make errors, but if they're watching me, they can see the ramifications so that they can avoid making the same mistakes in their own life. They can make their own mistakes rather than doing what their dad done. I hope that answers that question.
Yeah, no, that is well said. That's such a different experience that I'm pretty sure from our experience growing up with West Indian parents. Because in that type of household, what mom said or what mom and dad said, like, that's what it was. And I was talking to our buddy, Andrew, today, and he said something that resonated with me in terms of him listening to a podcast of someone who was in their 40s, and his daughter had gone out to a party and smoked weed. And then, you know, he knew that that happened, but the daughter didn't want to tell him because she was afraid of how dad would have reacted.
Yeah.
And that was like his aha moment of saying, wait a minute, something needs to change here. Yeah. And, you know, that made me realize that growing up, my default was not, oh man, I just did this thing, let me go ahead and share it with my mom. It was quite the opposite. Oh, shoot, I did this thing. I hope my mom never finds out.
Definitely that one.
And so to swim against the tide that way in terms of how we're raising our children now has to take a total different approach to how we talk to our children. Last night, for example, my son was throwing a fit for whatever reason. I think he was tired, but he was just throwing a fit, saying no, kicking his legs out, being disrespectful to his mom, that kind of stuff. He's a year and a half.
Yeah.
So I'm talking to him and I'm like, hey, buddy, you need to calm down. Like, the way in which you're behaving right now is not acceptable. Yeah. And he's just like, no. So I said, okay, you want to be that way? I grabbed him. I put him in his crib in his room, left the door wide open. And he is, I mean, you would have thought the kid was being killed. I mean, it was. So I let him cry for like 2-3 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I brought him back to the room and I sat him on the mattress and I said, let's talk, me and you. And so I started talking to him. He can say words.
Yeah.
In his mind, he's thinking that he is having a conversation. So he will say stuff like, daddy. And I go, yes, buddy. And I'm like, really? You know what I'm saying? So he's in that phase. So I'm talking to him and I'm telling him, listen, your behavior did not make your mom and I happy. You can do better than this. But if you choose to behave this way, you've making us more disappointed than proud of you. So your behavior needs to improve. And we're telling you that because we know you have it in you. And then he starts talking back to me in his baby language. And so I'm interpreting what he's saying.
You're having your own conversation.
and talking back to him, and then he's responding to me, and so we have this back and forth. My wife is looking at me, and I'm just like, hey, look, whatever. I like to believe that what was happening at that moment was sowing the seeds or continuing to sow the seeds for what I hope to reap when he is able to express himself more with an expanded vocabulary.
Yeah.
Hey, let's talk about what just happened. You can tell me why you felt frustrated, and we can talk about places that we can make improvement, but I still want you to talk to me.
Yeah.
That was something that happened when I was growing up with my mom after I got my ass whooping.
I don't even feel I've got that.
You know what I mean? And it didn't happen often. It happened occasionally.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm still like, you know, like this.
Just trying to get your soul back in your body. That just breathe it up here. Just. Don't
beat me. You know? And listen, to have a Haitian mother say to you, don't cry. And then you here trying to like, you know, hold it in and not.
If you got that, I'll give you something to cry about.
Oh, no, I got that too.
Bro, I just got beat and you're telling me you're going to give me something to cry about.
Yeah. You know,
maths don't make sense.
Yeah, no, I got that too. Yeah, I got that too.
Did you get the one where it's like, go get the belt and you get the small belt. And you got an extra lash for it because you got the wrong belt.
Yes. My mom had a closet full of belts and she would have us go pick out our death sentence. And it was never good enough. And if we brought her the thick one, I mean, we're stupid for bringing the thick one.
Yeah, I mean, you can see that counterintuitive. Like, no, why am I doing that?
I'm not
dumb.
Yeah, dude, listen, it's me and my two sisters. I'm the middle child. Mm-hmm. And we had to stand single file, both hands extended, and we couldn't let her miss. Yeah. Your eyes just widened. That's what I got. We couldn't make her miss. If she missed, it was fair game. So we either get our 10, 15, 20 lashes, or if she missed, it was fair game until she got tired. And of course, to my little 6, 7, 8-year-old mind, that was like, what the hell? She done beat us up until she, you know, until her arm fell off.
Yeah.
It wasn't that extreme.
No,
but at that age, it was like she was sweating, and I saw the no.
Wow, I've got a question for you, right? Because I'm always at this point a bit. But do you think when your child hits six years old, do you think you could disappear from the other?
Thank you.